Karen, I do have a presentation to run through if the commissioners so want me to, or however you want to proceed with our part in this. The assessor's office.
We'll take a look at that, Jeff. If you've got it to, can you run it like on the Zoom so we can see your handouts?
Yes, I can. Yeah, okay. Both Laura Lee and I are attending.
Yeah, I see Laura Lee. Hi, Laura Lee. All right, so we're 9:30. Let's start with our public workshop. We're going to be discussing levies today, the county levy, property tax levy, and the IDD levy and rates. And I think with that, I'll pass it off to Aaron and let you kick us off.
Sure, and I'll pass off to Abigail here in a moment. Mostly what I wanted to highlight is really the recommendation on the IDD levy. I don't think the regular property tax levy suggestion will be a surprise to you, but on IDD, I think it's worth taking maybe just a minute to explain our thinking and probably remind you a little bit about our prior thinking on that and discussions at prior meetings. But really what we're recommending moving into 2022 is to again ramp up the IDD levy to about 2.6 million from this year's current 1.6 and last year at about 800,000. So it's almost to the max level of collection. Again, remembering that IDD has a definite end amount and therefore the amount of time shifts depending on how much is collected annually. The target though that the staff recommendation is making for the commission is really related to cash flow for capital projects. So what we've done is taken a look at the five-year CIP, recognizing that it is shy a couple of projects that I think are likely to occur, particularly in the boatyard. This dollar level will allow us, we believe, to fund the CIP using no long-term debt and instead using our existing line of credit for cash flow purposes. And that was our target in moving through this process, is to deliver the IDD funded projects as quickly and efficiently as possible for the community's benefit. Obviously to use IDD funds to match other dollars and grant funds. And I think importantly, and increasingly something we're talking about, to not borrow additional dollars for long-term debt for the port. So with that in mind, let me pass to Abigail, and then I know we're going to hear from Jeff and Laura Lee, and we'll be on with our property tax show.
I think just before you go, Abigail, let me just say, I think all three commissioners are going to have a lot to say this morning about this. And I guess unless Pam or Bill, you guys want to say something different, I would say let's hear all the presentations and then we'll have a discussion afterwards. That seem appropriate?
That seems like okay. The right approach.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Abigail.
Okay. Thank you. I don't know if there's a whole lot to add from what Aaron's already described, you know, the regular property tax levy. I think that will probably not be an issue as far as the commission just taking the 1% that is allowed each year. And it's more related to the IDD tax levy for obvious reasons. And what I had done is I just put together, based on what we had already presented to commission and had been approved by commission, was what we had in the CIP for 2021 through 2025. And so the CIP numbers here are only the IDD related ones, the ones that have been approved as yes, we want to fund these with IDD monies. So if you look on the second page where you have the matrix there, it shows where we were at the end of 2020 with the IDD money left in our account, and then what was budgeted for 21, and then what we've budgeted for 2021 in expenditures. And of course, that will probably vary somewhat depending on where we land at the end of the year. But of course, these are high level estimates. And then it goes out to 22, 23, 24, and 25. And I played with some numbers, putting them in those green highlights to try to not come up with a negative balance. And that's where I came up with the 2,600. And of course, as you can see, if everything unfolded the way that we have projected in the CIP, we would need to draw on our line of credit by 2023. But then it also depends on how, you know, quickly we're reimbursed by the EDA for the Point Hudson Jetty, which is the big project coming up next year. And of course, how we get billed from the contractor also. So some variables there. Of course, the EDA would be more significant than the contractor billing, I think. But this gives you an idea of if we levied that amount for 2022 and then held steady for the following 3 years, that that's where we'd be projected in our cash flow. Are there any questions? That's kind of all there is that I have before Jeff provides you with his calculations and commentary.
Abigail, did you make a scenario, or can you give us a scenario for what it would look like for the amount that we would need to take out in 2022 from the IDD so that we would be able to cover our expenses without taking out a line of credit in 2023?
I could run those numbers.
The answer, though, is that we won't have capacity because we'll be at the 2.6 is approximately max levy. And so there really won't be room to draw more in order to avoid. And it's very difficult. You know, Abigail will have to make assumptions about timing that are a bit unknown, as specifically when and how much we pay a contractor versus when and how much we get reimbursed from the state and also from the EDA. So yeah. I guess that's a long way of saying I think we will absolutely use the line of credit to execute a project of that size.
Okay.
And I want to really point out that you be careful of your language. Using the word expense when you refer to anything that's being funded by IDD is probably not a good idea. It's not what the IDD is set up for. It's explicitly prohibited. And so, you know, I'm really nervous about the idea that the IDD gets used for things that don't create a positive capital cash flow and don't create jobs and doesn't do anything creative, but just kind of defers the costs, which is great until the day that the IDD runs out. And then all of a sudden we have a giant big hole to fill. And, you know, everybody gets nailed with a great big huge increase just to keep the port afloat. We need to think a little more, you know, in the future than the end of the IDD or, you know, the next 5 years.
You're muted.
I am.
Commissioner Henke was muted.
There we go. So Abigail, we'll do Jeff next, but while we're doing Jeff, I forgot to grab it. I should have pulled mine out. Do you have a CIP that we could put up to look at what you're talking about in 22, 3, and 4?
Sure.
Is there a single, and don't put it up now, but if we could put it up on the screen when we come back to this, because we'll circle around back to this after we get through the county's property tax discussion.
Okay.
All right. So Jeff, how about you start your presentation?
Okay, I will certainly do that, Pete. Again, I'm Jeff Chapman, the county assessor, and I'm here with Lori Kiesel, who, among other things, does our levies, and she's our levy clerk. So starting in September, we meet with the various districts and help them through the budget process and then the levying process. So when we're done, that they know exactly what they're going to get and everything's within the statutes of what's allowed. As far as the IDD levy, I didn't know what the proposal would be before when I presented it. I mean, when I put this presentation together, I just heard about it this morning. Okay, I'm going to start off with a little bit on, let's see if I can share my screen here.
You got it?
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah, that looks good.
To you, it does. For me, I lost the rest of it. But anyway, this is a slide on the median home values and Jefferson County assessed values. I just want to go through this real quick. I showed this to Rotary as well as the Port Ludlow Village Council, which is why Port Ludlow is actually on this. But the countywide AV, which applies to the port, that we value property every year. And once in every 6 years, we inspect 1/6 of the county. This year we did Quilsing. This next year we'll be doing Port Ludlow, then we'll do the tri-area and we're moving north back towards the city. But every year we can adjust values based on the market and looking at sales, and we're doing a pretty good job with the trend lines. This red line is what the Office of Financial Management in the state says our sale price increases. And so this is what they say is happening with the median home value for sales based on sales. Is it's trending up to almost to over $400,000 per home. I've been valuing under market. So, and one thing is assessed values follow sales by 1 year. So you're going to see our trend is going to shadow this, but be 1 year later. This is my countywide. This dotted line is my countywide trend. And my ratio has been about 91%. It's been hovering in the low 90s, which means I'm valuing at 90% of market. And so I'm coming in with a median home value of like $385,000, whereas the state says it really should be more like $450,000. And I correct this, and what I was showing in this solid green line is if it was corrected for my ratio to 100%, which is where I'm supposed to be at, it would pretty much follow the state line. Now, you think valuing at 90%, well, that means people aren't paying as much taxes as they would otherwise. It's not exactly true. That for most, as you know, we're a budget-based system, so all the junior taxing districts levy what they need to collect plus 1% more than they did the year before, and plus new construction, they can get, so they get on an average about 2% more. We divide it by the assessed value, and that's how much taxes they pay. So whether we're valuing under the 100% or over 100%, for the regular levy, they're going to pay the same amount of money as long as everybody's being valued equitable. For the state school levy, it works a little different, as it's been a fixed rate at $270,000. However, they divide it by my ratio, and that's what people actually pay in Jefferson County. So they've been paying over $3 per thousand because I've been at 90%. So by undervaluing property, I really don't gain anything. The taxpayers are still going to pick up the same amount of taxes. And I like getting closer to 100% of market value because that makes it more equitable. It's easier to do it if you're trying to hit that market value figure based on 100% based on state rules than if you're trying to undervalue it and try to maintain that ratio and equity across the county. So that I am striving to get to 100%. I think the reason we've been valuing low is it just works out that the market is moving faster than I'm able to keep up with it. And indeed, my ratio that the state will give me will probably be about 91-92%, and that's through sales in May. However, if you look at sales since May, I'm now down around 75%. So it means that for next year, I'm going to have to increase values again by about 15% overall, just to get to the 91%. So if I'm going to try to get to 100%, I'm going to be increasing values by 20 to 25%. Okay, let me see if I can figure out how to change.
And they say we're not getting affected by inflation.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody's not.
Okay. Another thing I should say is that if you look at the 2014 value I had, was my median home value was $245,544. My median home value right now is $385,805. If you, and you're going, okay, so this assessed value went up. And if you say, well, then and the taxes would have been the same if we hadn't increased or lowered. Well, the levy rate back in 2014, the average levy rate was $10 per thousand. The average levy rate today is $9.85 per thousand. That means your average tax bill in 2014 was $2,464. Your average tax bill this year will be about $3,800. So your taxes have definitely gone up. Reason for taxes have gone up, and I'll be honest, have been voted levies. You know, Quilicene passed a capital project levy. It was a big hit in Quilicene. State schools, the McCleary decision over the last several years has been a big, enormous hit because it took it off a budget. The state schools used to be on a budget-based system. They used to be on the 1% plus new construction. McCleary decision put it on a fixed rate, $270 per thousand, which in our county has been about $3 per thousand. Well, that means if your value goes up by 20%, the amount you pay for state schools goes up by 20%. So state schools has got a huge amount of additional revenue over the last four or five years as a result of going from that budget-based to that rate-based. In 2022, it goes back to a rate, back to a budget-based system. So they go back, unless the legislature changes something, they'll go back based on what they're collecting now to the 1% plus new construction going forward. IDD is actually, in the last few years, is another reason that if you look on a percentage basis, that people are paying more taxes, that because it's a large increase from year to year, admittedly a small levy rate, but it's a small, from a change, it's a big increase. Most of the other taxing, actually, you know, the regular port, regular county, roads, those that are held to the 2% have been going up, you know, the 1% plus new construction have been going up about by 2% per year. Okay, let me go to the next one. Sorry, I'm trying to move around the screen. I'll move through this as quickly as I can. All right, so now you see, this is my trend in changes in assessed values by area, by year, and following the trend. I think 2014 is when we went on a annual evaluation system. As you can see, that countywide, we've gone up about 48% in assessed value since 2014. That said, the city has gone up by about 62%, and the county outside the city has gone up about 43%. So what you're actually seeing is that the city is actually their value is going higher than countywide. So there's been a shift going on where the city is actually picking up a little bit more of the taxes every year for the countywide levies. Yes, and ask me any questions if you want while I try to figure this out. Okay.
Hey, Jeff, do you do any analysis by commissioner district?
Yes. I don't have it here, but I do. Not to the same degree that you're talking about. Usually I just show the assessed value by commissioner district.
It would be interesting for us. One of the criticisms that the port faces is that we're focused heavily in Port Townsend and the first commissioner district, but it would be interesting to be able to show some level of detail as to how the economy really works. And, you know, what you were just talking about with the amount of countywide tax paid by city residents, you know, in comparison to the rest of the county, just informationally, so people have a better understanding of the way those dollars flow.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. I have like, you know, the county does have a budget committee that meets, and I've been telling them that, you know, even the county levy, the county current expense, the city is actually picked is up to about 31% of our current expense budget, because they pay the countywide levy. And they used to be back in 2014, 2015, they're about 27%. So the city has been picking up a little bit more of the county levies, you know, that, well, not roads, but the county current expense levy. And it, in theory, the port would be the same way, that the power port being countywide, that the city was paying a little bit more of the share of the port levies, regular levies, well, both levies.
So Jeff, I have a question. On this slide, the assessed value for from 20 through 25, you're going up by $1 million in 2 years, from 20 to 20, from 20 to 21 to this year, I guess. From 2019 to 2021, the assessed value went up by $1 million, it looks like. But then over the next 3 years, you kind of slow the projected growth of the assessed value. Is that because you think the curve is going to flatten?
Well, originally in here, I put in a percentage increase for each year. You see it's a 3% increase, which is how with county, with our budget, we often use 3%. And I thought it historically, in going into the COVID, we thought that, well, maybe 3% is a nice conservative figure, that indeed we expect with COVID that values would flatten out. I think what we weren't anticipating was that with the climate change issues, with fires, with drought, that our area has become kind of a destination place. So, I mean, it always used to be, you know, it used to be have influx coming with folks wanting to move here. But, you know, when it rains so much that everybody would leave the area. Well, with a change in climate, you're getting the opposite. What's happening is people are moving here and they're wanting to stay here. So we got the what happened. And you, I know you've heard this, you know, it's throughout the state. It's the same kind of issue, is that. And it's shown in the state OFM graph, is that instead of values flattening out, you know, commercial values have flattened a little bit, but not that much. You know, you're just getting a lot of influx. And at, our budget committee looks at real estate transaction activity each month, and we look at the high-end sales, you know, that are $1 million or more, or $500,000 or more. And in a lot of cases, it's outside purchasers or well, the other part about the pandemic is it's created a lot of folks who can work from their homes. They don't have to work in the office anymore. So if they don't have to work in the office and they have more flexibility in where they live, guess where they want to live? So you're right. These projections of a 3% increase are low. What I have been seeing the last couple of years is we have increasing about 8 or 9%. It used to be during the recession coming out of there, you didn't see that kind of growth, but we could probably bump this up to 5%. But this, we plugged this in when we first went with the IDD levy, and just to see where we were at, and that's where we came up with a 3%. To understand the IDD levy, there is a 6-year calculation that occurs, and that 6-year calculation is still based on the 1% and new construction. And based on that, it comes up with the amount of money that you can expect in addition to the starting amount that was set on the 270 per thousand that the port can have over 6 years. That's based on 45 cents times six. So you start off, so originally we said, yeah, we're pretty sure you're going to get $16 million or have the ability to get collect $16 million. And then after the end of 6 years, we'll have, based on how assessed values change, we'll have an idea of how much additional amount you can collect. And we're looking probably close to another $1 million. So you'll probably be up around $17 million will be that the total amount that you'll be able to collect from the IDD levy. And it's an interesting calculation because we don't know what that'll be until 6 years have passed. And we'll get into what you can collect in any one of these 6 years is the statutory maximum based on the 1% from the initial calculation and the 45 cents per thousand, whichever is less. And I'll get into
Jeff,
that.
Jeff, where's the additional money above the calculation that was done at the, I don't remember the term of ARC, but the benchmark year, the start year. How does my understanding always was that was an amount that was fixed. I guess this, with the exception that, you know, new construction, right?
Yeah, well, it's not fixed. The $16 million is fixed. The base year, the 270, which is if you had 45 cents per year times the initial assessed value, how much would it be? So basically, you take the initial assessed value times $2.70, which is, again, the 6 years times 45 cents, and that's what you are guaranteed. In other words, mm-hmm. I can't drop lower than that. If this figure, this additional amount after 6 years was less than this, you would still get $16,167,992 or be eligible for that.
Okay.
The only reason you would get more is if the assessed values continue to climb, which they clearly are doing. So that will mean that additional $730,000, which could be up to $1 million, will be not known for sure until the end of 2024.
Okay. So the longer we drag this out, the more likely it is we'll hit the bigger numbers.
Right. Yes. This is not, you're not eligible for that until the end of the sixth year.
Right.
All right. And the levy rate is, the first year was 13.5 cents. The second year was 25 cents. And that was because of the increase in collection from 809,000 to 1,634,000. If you increase, as I see here, you're probably going to be up around 37 cents, which would probably be on a median home value, probably be about another $46 that people would pay in taxes, that the median home owner would pay in taxes. Okay. Continue on here.
But Jeff, just before we leave that, as Bill was saying, if we bump this rate at this point in time, it will affect that calculation at 6 years, right?
No.
Well, we just won't get very far out, so we won't get all the increases that are coming.
Right. It won't change this calculation, the 730. It will not change that.
Right.
It will change this last column over here on how much is left available for you to collect.
Right.
So as you, and which is going to adjust anyway. So as you use money, this is going to go down. So how much is left available will go down, of course. But it will not adjust. It will not change this. This is a calculation Laura Lee and I do. Based on, and it's pretty much set. The only thing that's not known is what the assessed value will be from year to year. So once we know that assessed value, we can set the rest. It's sort of your running 1% that establishes a little bit of additional bank capacity. Okay. Let me go back to here. Hopefully I've got the right one. All right. Why isn't it sharing? Are you seeing this screen here?
Yes, now we are. We're seeing that. Two different graphs, bar graphs.
Yeah. Sorry, you'd have to see my screen to understand my confusion. It's showing, usually it circles in green what you're sharing, and I'm not seeing that. Okay. This, what you see here is assessed value, taxable value by revaluation area and set in countywide. What you can see is we peaked out in 2010, and then we had the recession where everything dropped And now we've been climbing and we're past the 2010 peak. And indeed, in this year, when we set values, we'll be above the 7 billion mark. So we'll be up here. And the other part of that is new construction. New construction, again, we had a lot of new construction activity before the recession. We dropped down to very low, down here in the $26 to $30 million worth of value in new construction. And we've been climbing back up. In 2020, we were at $57 million. This year, we'll probably be up around $60 million. So we'll probably be up above these last 4 years. So we'll be up in this range here. We're still not back to the pre-recession, but we're definitely improving and moving up and above that. Okay, now I'll get into the port calculation itself. As we said, for your regular levy, Laura Lee worked up the figures on what you can get. And it's basically a 1% increase over your prior years plus new construction. That's a new construction in dollars. And then we recommend, based on what we came up with and comparing also what your highest lawful levy, we always give that as a reference, and what your statutory rate would be. If you, in order to get the statutory rate, of course, you'd have to do a lid lift, a voter approved lid lift. But as it is, we're recommending that you budget on the high side, which is $1,071,500, which would basically pick up the 1%. Plus new construction. We're still working on new construction. I still have my appraisers out in the field. And so there's still going to be more new construction that comes in. So that's what we're recommending for your regular levy. Okay. And then on the IDD levy, which is where a lot of the interest is right now, is again, we give you the 1% that if you took your collection for this year, which is double last year, and add 1%. And if you were handling like a regular levy and then added new construction, you'd have a levy rate that would drop a little bit. You know, it'd be very close, but just a little bit less. And then we told you how much you could collect in that way, which would be about $1,650,000. But we also here, getting back to my other slide about the port, is your highest lawful levy. This is how much you can actually take councilmatically, is that you have your highest lawful levy amount, which is based on the full 1% from the beginning year. And you could collect up to $2,772,000.
So we're still behind the cost of living increase. So the port in real dollars, the port is still declining in tax income.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a problem for all the regular levies. You know, if you really want me to talk about that, I can, but and I'd like to, because as you know, a long time ago, we were at 6% increase per year is what we were allowed. All the regular levies. And that was during times of great inflation. And it was finally felt that when inflation started to die down, it was getting down into low single digits, the 6% per year allowing county government to grow was considered too much. And you had the Iman initiatives. And eventually what the legislature did, you know, the Iman initiative was passed and it was unconstitutional. And that, what the legislature did is held to what was in that initiative, which is, okay, we're going to change it from 6% to 1%. So now you have county growth at 1%, port growth, PUD growth for the regular levies, and library. And in a way, the city was held to the 1% too. The city, though, has some potential here. And I haven't heard from the city about what they're going to do next year. Because when the city annexed the fire into the fire district, the fire district's levy then has been applying to the city. But the city did not lose what they were paying for fire district services. So that levy rate became bank capacity that the city has. So they have the ability to councilmatically increase their levy by quite a bit more than the 1%, at least until they absorb, get back up and absorb what they gave up for fire. by annexing to the fire district. But the county has been held down. And you're right, as inflation starts kicking up over 1%, and now we're getting 3 to 4% increases, it's a problem. It's a problem because we don't have a way to raise property taxes by 3 or 4%. What fire districts do, fire districts go for a lid lift, which is fundamentally a way of getting the voters to approve of bumping that to more than a 1 or 2% rate. You may soon see East Jefferson Fire and Rescue, which is their maximum levy, it can be $1.50. Well, they're getting down to near $1 because they've been held by that 1% plus new construction. So when fire districts get down that close, when they're losing, when they have to, they're 2/3 of their capacity, they usually go for a lid lift, and they could go for a lid lift. And voters generally support fire district lid lifts. So they could easily get bumped back up to $1.50 from where they'll be at about $1 this year. Are they considering it? I've heard a mention a few times that in the next few years, they are talking about possibly going for a lid lift to get bump back up their levy limit. County doesn't have many options here with property taxes. We've tried some lid lifts without much luck. And so, because administration is not widely supported by taxpayers, and in all truth, the taxes are dramatically increased for folks. And if you look at that McCleary decision, which boosted to that 270 fixed rate, that is in a way a lid lift. It's a legislated lid lift. What it was, the state schools was being held by that 1%. It wasn't enough to pay for state schools. They knew if they went to the voters to do a lid lift that it wouldn't pass. And so they legislated in McCleary, a fixed rate increase, which fundamentally was a dramatic lid lift. And now they're going to go back to the 1% at the high set rate. And so you're right. While all this is going on around us, ports and PUDs and county government and the city are still held to that 1% per year, where now inflation is starting to take off.
Yeah, I think I think in the minds of a lot of voters when we did the IDD, it was a sort of a lid lift with rails around it, because it has a definite end and it has a definite amount, and they could count on it. That lid lift, kind of would go on forever.
Well, anything else you want to bring
that's,
up?
That's not exactly true. You can have lid lifts for a period of time. So you can have lid lifts now. That the legislature has changed that over the years, that you can now have a lid list for specific purposes, and you can have lid lifts for a certain range of time. You can even have, county can even have lid lifts that exempt senior citizens. So there are some more flexibility with lid lifts these days, but they are hard to pass. And there is skepticism about doing it that way.
Yeah.
Ports do have more flexibility with IDD for exactly the reason that you have development districts, is that you have some flexibility there that you don't have with regular levies. And that's because they're big ticket items and you have to be able to cover that. So you can bond for them and go out for a bond, like a capital construction bond, or again, you have your IDD options. Okay, I don't know if you want me. The only other slide I had was on the TAV. I guess you pretty much understand that timber assessed value comes from the harvest of timber on all lands. It's a tax on timber harvesting, and it's been down in more recent years, and so the TAV has been dropping. And it wasn't too bad this last year, but long term, you're not going to see TAV ever take off again, the timber assessed value. The other part of that is the harvesting of timber on county-owned lands, basically the timber trust lands, is we get harvest value from there, not just the tax. And that harvest value is distributed to the junior taxing districts. And you see that it hasn't come in this year. The harvest value of those lands have been tied up, and the DNR, which cuts those, has not been able to harvest them the way they have in the past. They're hoping for a little better harvest in 2022, But that's a windfall money, that extra timber money that comes in, and it's way down. So and the final part about TAF is just to share this one here, is you've heard from the county treasurer about the problems we had with TAF, where the state Department of Revenue switched their software system, and they basically collected an administration fee that was, and part of the TAF goes to the state and part goes back to the counties. And the state was taking the administration fee out of the state share the last few years. And then what they said, although no, but that really should be coming out of the county share. And so they turned around and asked the counties to contribute back 3 years worth of their TAF collection, which amounts to about $140,000 for Jefferson County. So we've been trying to figure out how to give back $140,000 that's already been distributed to the various taxing entities. When we did the workups, that had we basically applied the collection without that administration money, we find that it pretty much hits priority three distribution levies, which means it doesn't affect the schools, which are priority one and two. They're guaranteed. And then we try to look at what the distribution would be for the various taxing districts. And there was a couple ways to do that. One was to ask for the money back from the prior 2 years and this year, or to simply make an adjustment in the latest TAF distribution, which was pretty healthy. And so what Stacy's doing is, it figures the easiest and least painful way is simply zero out for the priority three, the third quarter distribution of TAVs. And what it will mean for the port is that, you would probably have gotten, $5,000 for IDD and $3,000 from regular. You're not going to get that. And that kind of absorbs most of the distribution that we need to give back for the port. There's still a little bit more that's going to come out of priority four, and the rest of it will actually come out of the reserve, which would be a carryover to 2022. So anyway.
Anything else, Jeff, from the county's perspective?
And no.
And then before you go, would you be willing to send us that slide, maybe send it to the port and they can distribute it to us, the one slide that had the IDD distribution on it? That was a good slide.
Yeah, I do provide that to the port every year.
Okay.
Because it's updated every year, but yes, I will.
Okay. All right.
It's difficult. It's a complicated calculation. So I always like sending to the port. So there's still some questions about how it works. Say after the end of 6 years, how does the 1% work going into the seventh year? And the statutes are a little vague on that. So it's good that we always kind of touch bases and see what we agree to. And then I also touch bases with Department of Revenue to make sure that they say, yeah, that's how we read it too.
Okay. Cool. Pam, did you have a question? And you're muted.
Hi, Jeff. I have a question.
Hi.
The Marine Trades did an impact, an economic impact study 4 years ago, and were able to quantify how much the businesses made in the Marine Trades and then how much tax revenues were generated to the state and to the county. And so when our maritime businesses do well, the county gets more money. And that is able to benefit everyone in our county, regardless of what district they live in. So even if most of the money and businesses are in District 1, it's benefiting the whole county. How are businesses, do you have a record of not just the maritime businesses, but this year's or 2020's overall business tax revenue to the county?
thinking about that. I don't have a breakout in that fashion. When they did the study, and again, I was involved in that. And I agree with the results, is that it's definitely true that the activities in the port bring a lot of revenue in. It's not just, again, what it is, a lot of the workforce, it lives out in the county and it's working wage jobs. So in a way that, there's certainly an area around the city that contributes, that benefits from the work that goes on within the city by the port. I'm not sure how I could quantify. I mean, I was asked back then how to quantify it tax-wise, and I wasn't really sure how to do that because you'd have to know where that workforce lives. And how far out does it extend? I know that, we had all the discussions when we were coming up with the IDD, that first year that it was conceived, that a discussion of, how far out does it benefit if it's primarily focused in the city? I mean, does it go into Quilcene or Brennan or the West End for example? That's the problem with the IDD levy. It's a countywide levy. And so all of those areas pay it. And we weren't able to adequately figure out how to do that. I mean, you have to know exactly where your workforce lived.
I bet a lot of the workforces.
I think I need to rephrase my question, and because what I would like to know is the amount of revenue from all businesses, marine trades and all businesses in Jefferson County from year to year. So the taxes that are generated from the businesses that go to the county, do you have a number for that compared to last year?
No, but I could get back to you with that. I will say though that remember businesses, their values, while residences have gone up dramatically, business values have not. COVID's really hit businesses hard, and we've been very careful we haven't had as many business sales, so we've been careful about raising the values of businesses until we have better market evidence for it.
Pam, are you referring to revenue from businesses, like a tax that the county, because the county doesn't assess a tax on business revenue?
No, what I'm trying to say is that the taxes that businesses pay based upon their revenues that go towards the county. So that, for example, in the economic impact study, we showed that, $6 million of revenues go to the county based upon the taxes that the businesses have paid based upon their sales. So overall, countywide in addition to the marine trades businesses, what are the revenues that all businesses are generating that go to the county, and how have those changed?
Okay. Now again, I just deal with property tax, and during our budget sessions, Treasurer Stacy Prada does do a breakout of sales tax by type of business and type of industry. It's pretty crude, but it gives you some idea of what's of the distribution by type. Like she's got a breakout for construction or retail or I think marine trades is its own breakout. But again, it comes from statewide data, and it may not be totally useful. The other trend we've seen is as businesses, you don't see as much people going to Kitsap, for example, to the malls or to going to Costco or that. People are doing a lot more online ordering. Well, online ordering actually generates more sales tax in Jefferson County, because if you're ordering, point of receiving it. So fundamentally, the sales tax has been looking pretty good in Jefferson County and the city as there's a lot more online ordering, because they're paying taxes through that way rather than it going to Kitsap and Clallam counties.
Right.
Great. Thank you, Jeff.
Bill, any other comments?
No, I was just going to say that, you know, I think that because of the home prices here in Jefferson County and the available living wage housing here, I think that the marine trades jobs here really extend out into Kitsap and Clallam as well, where there may be some available housing at a rate people can afford. So it's not just contained within Jefferson County.
Okay, so I'm going to move along. Thanks, Jeff and Laura Lee. Great to see you. Hopefully get to see you in person next year. That would be awesome. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Pete.
Yep. All right, so let's pick up back to the proposal, Aaron and Abigail, that you both are talking about. And I guess my question, I have a concern with this. And one thing that has been demonstrated clearly with Jeff this morning is that tax rates are going up a lot and inflation is going up a lot. So people are getting hit hard. And I'm a little concerned at your pitch in terms of the vagueness of the pitch. And, you know, I get it. We don't want to have debt. That's nice to save some interest expense. I get that too, from a cash flow perspective, definitely. But I also get that we have a lot of opportunity in terms of infrastructure funding that is coming, particularly from the federal government. It's very vague and gray, and no one knows exactly what we're going to end up with. But that potential of those of that funding could really change the picture dramatically over the next 5 years. So I guess, Abigail, I really call into question your chart here that, you know, that's a lot of pie in the sky numbers as far as trying to understand what exactly is going to keep those negative numbers above the line. And I'm wondering what my fellow commissioners are thinking about that, because I'm really kind of hesitant to want to grab more money off the IDD at this point.
You know, the biggest project we have, the biggest single project we have is the Point Hudson levee. And it is of constant concern to me that we're burning through like $500,000 a year waiting for permits and waiting for a window to build this thing. And I don't know where to go with that, except that it seems like there's the federal agencies that have to, you know, hand out these permits are, you know, kind of in a no, we don't want anybody to build that stuff kind of a mode. And it's great that we got some money earmarked from our federal legislators, but you know that money's been burnt through in the time the regulators have dawdled over these permits. And I don't know, you know, it'd be. I mean, I think that asset is one that needs to be preserved, but again, it's a loss leader for the Port of Port Townsend, and nobody else seems to give a damn about it.
I'm hoping
unless we don't do it.
Bam.
I can't really see the screen right here, but I did speak. I'm hoping that Aaron can give us an update, because I spoke with Eric Taves yesterday because I had to prepare a port update for the Marine Resource Committee. And he gave me an update on the jetty, exactly where we're at. And it's looking really optimistic right now that we're going to receive our permits by the end of this year, and that we'll be able to go out to bid. Our designs are at about 100%, and that we'll be able to go out to bid right at the beginning of the year, and hopefully get this very optimistic about starting construction of the North Jetty, doing the North Jetty in 2022 and rolling right into 2023 with that. So I know we've been stalled out and it's been very uncertain, but after talking with Eric yesterday, there's a lot of optimism, and maybe Aaron can fill us in.
Just going back to the request you made, Pete. So this is not the full CIP. Well, it is. I could scroll up and you'd see all the projects, but this is the revenue page from the CIP showing anticipated use of IDD funds. And so this is really the math behind the math. And you can see by year, next year we're anticipating needing almost 3.2 million, following year 4.6, and then 2 million and so on. So, you know, that's really kind of where those numbers come from.
So Aaron, I'm not seeing the top of the column, so I don't know what, yeah. Are those years? Those are is years. That what you're doing? Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's a little hard. I've tried to blow it up so you can see it better, but then of course you can't see everything. So this is the 5-year CIP by property. And then you can kind of cruise through and see all the projects on the list at the airport, Boat Haven, Point Hudson, Quilcene, and other, with the totals across the bottom. And then we break it down with funding sources, both secured, those that we're still chasing, and then of course IDD and net operating.
Right.
So that's really the math behind it. But you look at the list of projects, I'll just go back here. Maybe I can make this slightly smaller so you can still see it, I hope. Yeah, that's probably pretty good. It gets you most of them. Kind of ticking down the list. There just are a lot of projects on the list. So, you know, clearly the commission has to weigh the impact on the taxpayers' pocketbooks with the need for dollars. I don't think it's difficult for the port to make a strong case that the IDD levy dollars are needed, and that the sooner we're able to deploy them, the more effective they are. But ultimately, that's a political decision as to the comfort in the community with how much you take. I will note, at least from a port administrative office standpoint, following last year's shift from 800 to 1.6 million, you know, we did not receive complaints about that. That may be different this year if you go from 1.6 to 2.6. What I heard from the assessor's office, though, is clearly escalating valuations, but escalating valuations don't translate into increased taxes. It just changes the slice of the pie. I did hear a forecast in the future for IDD, for levy lid lift, and for the City of Port Townsend's bank capacity. So recognizing there are others out there thinking of doing really what the voters did with the port now 2 years ago on IDD. So
Are there any of the projects on that are being funded by IDD that are going to have a net positive cash flow in the future?
Well, so here's the list, just to run you through quickly, and it's challenging. I mean, when you look at the Point Hudson Jetty project, about 50% of that project will be funded by the Economic Development Administration, recognizing the economic footprint of the project.
Okay.
I think what you're really asking me is more, will there be enhanced economic value to the port versus where we are today? And the jetty, we can't say that because we're replacing 1936 infrastructure, putting another, you know, call it 50 years on the clock. And that has true economic value to the community in terms of the port's bottom line and net operating income that will ensure that we continue to get tomorrow what we already get today. And I think what you're asking me is, are there projects on here that get us more tomorrow than what we're getting today?
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, I mean, when after the IDD is gone, is there going to be some residual benefit from having done any of the projects the IDD is doing that will keep us from driving tenants out of the boatyard and out of the marina because we have to raise our rates so high just to keep going?
And I want to, let me ask that same question, Bill, in just a different framework. Dollars that we spend from the IDD on the breakwater, will those dollars get replaced by potential grant dollars so that the IDD dollars will be returned back into the port sheet, profit and loss sheet?
I don't anticipate that will happen. Once the budget's fixed and we're really hearing with the price of steel escalating that we're hovering above 15 million now, we will absolutely request that EDA help with maybe a little larger share than they're currently committed to on the basis of actual bid pricing. But once that budget's fixed and those dollars are spent, I think it is, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's a lot like those spikes at the airport parking lot. You know, once you cross over, there's not a lot of backing up. You don't get your money back.
Well, I think the other question to ask, kind of the overarching question for everyone here, is the discussion of, this is called an industrial development district, and this is not called infrastructure reconstruction district. So, what in the end, I do believe the voters voted for IDD with some expectation that some of those dollars would be spent on the jetty work at Point Hudson. But I also believe that, you know, the hope of the IDD is that those dollars eventually are used for projects that are countywide. And, I guess I'm asking us all to kind of take a pause or take a look and say, what's our comfort level on how much of these resources we're spending on infrastructure reconstruction as opposed to industrial development?
Yeah, I mean, it makes me nervous just because I don't think the IDD money will make it to 20 years. My guess it's more likely to make it to 10 years, depending on what future port commissions do. I'd like to think that the Port of Port Townsend is a stable business, going into the future. And I don't see us getting another gift like the IDD to enable that. So, I mean, it's maybe the bite of the apple that we get.
Or here's another way to consider this question, and that is, if you looked at a project like, we've talked about cold storage, or we've talked about, you know, funding a troubled piece of property like Bill's Garage in Chimicum, or we've talked about, you know, the whole back of the airport there, that industrial development district. So if we get, let's say we get 10 years down the road and we put the lion's share of the IDD dollars in play in terms of infrastructure reconstruction, are we likely to go out and bond money? Is that our intention? Is that what we think the port will do? We'll go back out and bond money to do a project like a cold storage or redevelopment, a pollution site or something like that. We're just talking about different pots and where we put our resources into these pots. And the beauty of IDD is there's no interest attached to that. So that saves the port quite a bit of money. However, it does eliminate potential resources down the road.
Yeah, I mean, for big projects, big capital projects, where there is a, you know, guarantee is not the right word, but a high likelihood that the project will pay for itself. I mean, you do a revenue bond for that theoretically, and the income, you know, unless it's one of these really long term infrastructure projects, where, you know, the revenue is. We'll keep up with the interest, but not much else. There's lots of ways to reach stability. But I think people really, and by people, I mean the commission, really needs to take the long view of you know, what's the value of having a port of Port Townsend and healthy marine trades and marinas that people can afford and an airport that supports you know, disaster relief and all the other things that the Port of Port Townsend operates now. I think those things are all very valuable, and I would like to see them continued. And I mean, it really behooves us to take a long view of what we're doing today and how it's going to impact that outcome.
Well, I think it's important that the commission kind of continually evaluate its position. I will say, from my perspective, I thought this was fairly well-trod ground in that the commission approved the updated CIP just in the last couple of months. Now, the way I look at it is, first and foremost, we need to shore up what we have, what we depend upon, what we're aiming for in terms of generational stability for the community. So our primary infrastructure that serves the port and has served the port now coming on for 100 years is our top priority. And our CIP with IDD investments reflects that strategy. Separately, as to the length of the IDD levy, my hope is that we actually see the IDD last about 8 years. And my thinking there is that we would aggressively invest the dollars in our top priority projects until they're gone. And that timing happens to align fairly well with what I anticipate to be a retirement of all of our long-term debt, which I think we can accomplish, you know, in around 2027, currently scheduled for 2029. What that does is frees up for the Port Commission in budgeting about $1 million a year in what is currently allocated property tax revenue to deal with debt service. And those dollars become available for what I hope will be a combination of funding port properties that really don't provide economic development benefit, but are of community value, and primarily to support the investment of into new areas, new initiatives, entrepreneurial activities. And then I agree with the revenue bond scenario. My objective would be to have no long-term debt other than that which is a revenue bond specifically tied to a project where the math works. So whether that's new hangars at JCIA, a mixed-use development to demonstrate its viability, or something of that nature, I think that's a great tool and one we should keep in mind. But the bulk of these dollars, I mean, you can tick down the list. They all represent maintaining, bringing the current code and standard, ensuring generational viability of current port properties.
Yeah, I mean, we've been eating the seed corn for a long time. You know, we have a lot of assets that we didn't pay for in the first place. We got for a dollar or something. And we haven't really been keeping up with the maintenance. So we're kind of, the chickens have come home to an extent.
Pam, I can't see you because we're looking at a handout. Do you have any comments?
Well, I just wanted to say that I always keep in front of me the fact sheet that the port had the opportunity to let the public know why we proposed the levy. We were able to list facts on there, and I always keep that in front of me to remind myself about the original reason we proposed the levy. And looking, you know, it is scary to think about spending so much on one project. For example, the jetty, it's right around the corner. But that is a main reason why we proposed the levy. So I just want to make sure we always keep in focus what we said, and as we follow the actions, it will feel very unstable to spend so much, but I feel like as we go along, we there will be other opportunities for funding things. I love the idea about the revenue bonds. So when we do find a project in the future that will give us a return on our investment, we would have revenue bonds for that project. So I feel like we're taking care of our responsibilities, our basic responsibilities with this IDD, which said we are, you know, a lot of our infrastructure is at the end of its useful life. So we must replace some things. It's an emergency.
Yeah. So three things. First, Aaron, I think what you said in terms of using the IDD to fix infrastructure and relieve our debt, or our debt gets relieved by kind of at the same time as the IDD, and then that frees up that $1 million a year, whatever the assessed value is from the county, to look at other projects. I think that's a wonderful plan. And I think it's a plan that is really more of a public relations statement from the port to the county at large. And so we really should be, I think, proactive in stating that, you know, here's what we're doing. Here's our plan. And by taking this walk, we are going to make ourselves much more viable 8 years down the road when we have no debt and we have an infrastructure that's been repaired. I think secondly, it troubles me. I mean, I get it. And I agree, Pam, you're not, I get it. It's just hard to see so much of that potential being tied up in something that is Port Townsend centric and not county centric. So I think, you know, everyone, like Jeff said, even people on the West End are paying for the Point Hudson jetty, literally.
Pam, I know I point this out every time you bring it up, and you ignore me, and I think that's fine. You can do that. But, you know, when I was out pitching this, when I was out selling this, nobody from the Marine Trades Association was out selling it. No one from the Marine Trades Association took a vote and decided not to support it. That's an organization that's up to them. But when I was out selling this, I said, these are things we could do. And I think that's what was, this is not a list of the only things you and Charlie and Liz like to call it, the only things we're allowed to do with the IDD money. And I, you know, and everybody I talked to said, these are things we could do. These are outstanding infrastructure projects that the port has. But it is not the only things we could do, and it's probably not even the best things that we could do. The best things we could do is to do job development and things that continue the port as an organization. So to kind of myopically look at that list and say, well, if it's not on the list, we shouldn't do it, or if it's not on the list, you know, it's not legitimate, is just not the case. And I get that that's what you want to think, but it's just not true.
So let me finish, because I wasn't quite done. Okay. So my first point was that I agree with that we should get the jetty done, and, you know, probably doing this tax increase is the way to do that. And it gets us in 8 years to a point where we're debt free and we can use that $1 million. Second point is it isn't countywide. And that's a difficult one. Third point is, you know, we're living in unprecedented times in terms of economic growth. And we all are going to shake our heads yes, that we are like walking on stones across a river. And we don't know when that last stone is going to fall in terms of the next economic downturn, but it will happen. There's no way this is going to keep going the way it is. And so strategically, you know, Jeff made a good comment this morning that fire's going to go for a levee lid lift. And that really put my antennas straight up, that I think strategically we are going to take less of a hit to raise this now than after a levee lid lift with the fire. Even though we have the we can do this in council, we're going to get, I think, pushed back from if we do this after there's a nasty fight over fire trying to get more money. So I think, as I think about it, I think we should be thinking that way. But I also have a question, and that is, if we had an economic downturn, a severe one, could we turn this back? Okay, so we take it up to 2.6. Can we bring it back down if we felt like the county was really getting hit hard and we wanted to lower the tax burden from a port perspective?
Yes, that's an annual decision of the Port Commission.
Okay.
As far as the IDD levy is concerned, in terms of if the downturn is 8 years from now and the IDD money is already spent, you wouldn't want to necessarily, you wouldn't want to churn down the base tax rate, the base levy, because we would, I think we would probably have to get a vote of the electorate to put it back up again. So, I mean, you couldn't exactly underwrite people's taxes by turning it down. I think we can do that with the IDD is all.
If Pete was asking on the IDD in particular.
Yeah. Abigail, what do you think, Abigail?
I just wanted to make a few comments based on what the commission has touched on. One, I wanted to point out that over the next 3 years for 22, 23, and 24, of these IDD dollars, each year, like 22, we're anticipating $2.5 million, that this is leveraged money that we're using with in concert with a grant. Same for the 3.5 million in 2023 and just over a million in 24. And some of that's the jetty, some of that is FEMA for the dock repair. Some of that is the storm water in the yard, which is really important for jobs. And the mention of job development, I know, is super important. It made me right away think of the oxygen that falls from, you know, in emergencies in an airplane, that you got to have the maintenance of the jobs before, you know, you have job development or in concert with. But, you know, the job maintenance in the yard is super important. And that's what we're hoping with this this stormwater treatment upgrade, where we got the legislative money from the state, and then we have a match there, will help to keep our yard working, is super important.
Getting the yard back up to where it needs to be to support jobs is absolutely something that IDD money should do. I think the danger is that where we have these things that every, you know, 3 to 5 years you have to do this kind of work, and we're using the IDD money to do that kind of work. We're looking at loading that back on the tenants at some point, because the IDD money is gone. We either need to like soften that blow somehow by having projects that the IDD money funds that will support the port in lieu of big increases to tenants. I'm just looking for stability. I mean, I'm not looking necessarily to change the complexion of the port so much as I am looking for a way to keep what the port has stable, diversifying the port's portfolio. If it's done, so if we don't accumulate a whole bunch of lost leaders, diversifying the port's portfolio does that.
Pam, get a word in here. Pam, cut you off a minute ago. Can you come back with what you were going to say?
I've been more listening, so
okay.
I can't remember sorry. What I was going to say. My overall thought, though, is we have a house we have to take care of. The roof is leaking. We've got to fix the roof. So, you know, and I appreciate Aaron and Abigail's explanation of getting out of debt, creating that extra $1 million right now that we're spending on our debt. And that will be freed up so that we can do these other projects that we want to do. Yes, we want, I agree with you, Bill and Pete, we want to do other projects, but we must take care of the roof that's leaking first. So
I've got another, you know, in addition to the projects like Bill's been talking about, which I completely agree with, you know, an idea that I think we're likely to bring to the commission in the not too distant future is kind of reconsidering the port-wide capital reserve fund and targeting that fund to future projects with specificity. And the concept here, really going to your concern, Bill, is don't wait 50 years till it's broken, right? Recognize that we've got these issues that we in fact can predict when we're gonna need a new 300 ton lift, or we know when we're gonna need to re-up on a float system. So try to do enough advanced planning that our targets require the development of a certain amount of NOI now for projects in future decades. And really, anything with a life cycle, like the example you used of a 3 to 5 year, those really should be funded, in my opinion, by the rates of today. You know, the using IDD to help that as a one-shot wonder kind of gives us a little room. But those longer lead capital projects, you know, we establish a target for how much of that should in fact be probably rate supported. And we save towards that, and we recognize that we're going to need to get grant dollars or whatever it may be to fill the gap. But you know, I think some planning could help us on that. And then the third comment I was going to make is going back to your comment, Pete, about kind of the plan. You know, the other element of at least my imagination of that plan is if we can demonstrate to the community effective use of IDD funds, then I think we should be talking about IDD3 in a similar time period with a suite of projects that are targeted towards the more traditional IDD uses. So in this time period where we're shoring up our capital needs and we're establishing, you know, fixing the roof, as Pam said, be thinking about what projects we'd want to do if we were creatively investing in jobs for tomorrow. And then, you know, potentially propose those as IDD2 runs out at that point in time when there would be, in fact, no tax increase to the community. So offer an opportunity to invest at that time in, you know, these new investments.
Yeah. IDD3. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, good. Well, I mean, maybe an IDD3 is possible. An IDD3 means that we've done the sort of things that we need to do with IDD2, and the taxpayers believe that we're a good risk.
Yeah. So I think what staff needs from us, Commission, is some sort of head nod on what we're talking about today. Is that correct, Aaron?
Yeah, we're looking at developing the budget for your next meeting and really looking for underlying assumptions. And in particular today, the assumptions underlying the regular property tax levy of 100% plus 1% new construction and IDD at that about $2.6 million level.
We have to tell Jeff what, at the end of this month, is it? Or?
Oh, no, we have till November.
November, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And I did want to just point out that our regular property tax levy is about 16 cents per thousand. I looked at Seattle's and Bellingham's. I think Seattle is around 72 cents.
No, it can't be more than 45
oh.
for a port.
Well, Okay, I'll relook that up again. But they're both much higher. So 16 yep. cents is a really fair.
Yeah, we're on the lows. We're below the median of port tax levies statewide. I mean, and you know, some of the mosquito fleet ports are lower than that. I actually think that the Port of Seattle is lower than that, but they're a deep water port. They have the SeaTac airport that is printing money daily for them. I mean, we don't have, we're not a deep port, you know, commercial seaport. We have all the complexity of you know, any port in the state, and we're below the median. So, I mean, I think we're good money. I think we're good value for money.
Yes,
to the taxpayer. It's just that, you know, we really have to watch our P's and Q's.
I will give a head nod for
yep.
what is proposed here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I will go along. It's really thrilling, the idea of being out from underneath the bonds. So long as we don't go ahead and take on a whole bunch of new bonds that don't pay for themselves in response. And so I guess that depends on the emergencies we come up against, you know.
So I think for today, you still have to bring this up, Aaron, correct? I think we have to bring it up into a regular commission meeting.
Yeah.
So you'll see this in the draft budget as an assumption with all of your head nods, but ultimately you'll adopt resolutions that actually affect your levy rates.
Right. And
there'll be a public hearing preceding those.
Right. Yep. So without further, is there more to discuss, or are we pretty much covered it?
Do you want to ask a question? She's the only person in the audience.
Let's say that again.
Carol Hassey is the only person in the audience. I wondered if you wanted to ask her if she had a question.
Yeah, let's.
Sure.
Well, I mean, for me. She doesn't have her hand up, but.
Well, she.
I'll just allow her to talk and see what happens.
Well, I just want to say welcome, Carol, as she figures out how to do this for her first time. Thank you.
Well, hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, it's lovely to see all of your faces and also to hear all of your thoughtful comments and concerns about the future of our port, our crumbling infrastructure, our concerns about inflation and taxpayer burden and all of that. It's so I
and 115 days it's yours.
Imagine. Well, I'm excited to be working with you all, and Bill, I'm going to keep calling upon you to illuminate my enlighten me on many subjects. So
that's the deal we made. I'll stand by it.
Yay! Wonderful. So I'm just in brief. Had a lovely South Sound adventure. 2 months of visiting lots of state parks, lots of ports and lots of marinas. And I have a lot of thoughts to share with you about that at some point, but I am fully engaged now with this, anything that I can learn. And so I don't have any specific questions today. I think that most of the things were answered, and I'm with the head nod of yes, just if that matters or not. So I'm in agreement with my fellow commissioners on that. Thank you for.
Just to be clear, Carol, it doesn't. So just for the record, I don't want anybody to ascertain that there's any influence from you at this point on that.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to be careful with that.
Understood.
Okay. If there's no other comments, let's adjourn our public workshop, and we'll see everybody at 1 o'clock.
Sounds good to me.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.